Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And today, I've thought a lot about this program, and it's very much on top, just how much uncertainty there is in the world, how we've had the unveiling of war in the Middle East on a scale that the world hasn't seen for quite some time, and it's very disconcerting to actually see how many countries have been brought into this. And it's got me thinking about what professionals, health professionals, are talking about in the world, about how the anxiety level in the population is the highest they've ever known, even higher than in World War II. More people are anxious, more people are frightened, more people are worried about the future. And so the knowledge and expertise about well-being, how can you promote well-being with the backdrop of all this uncertainty? This is what we want to focus on today. And I have with me in the studio Camelia Petrus, who is an organisational psychologist. Welcome, Camelia.
Thank you very much for inviting me in your program. And this topic seems indeed quite interesting. And yes, I think we are dealing with uncertainty on a daily basis. Surprises are coming our way, and not everyone knows how to deal with them.
It's obvious that we have got problems in New Zealand with the economy. We've got struggles with people meeting their daily bills. We've also got struggles with the mental health needs of the population. And I was just looking at some stats this last week about how our youth anxiety levels, for those 14 to 25, they're extraordinarily high. And we don't have the programs and the backup and the support in the health system to really cope with this. So what can we do effectively within our workplaces or within even our families to help people? What tools and actions can we promote to anchor people during this kind of unsettled period?
Yes, to anchor people, that is an interesting question. And for some reason, I had an image of a tree that has very deep roots and is anchored in the source of life, sort of. But of course, people want to have some more pragmatic answers. Always they ask, what can I do? What is, how shall I look at things in a way that make a difference in the way I perceive life and everything? And there are many things that you mentioned there. It's you mentioned youth, okay, and the anxiety. And if we stop for a moment just on youth and think about how they experience life and how different their experience of life is from other generations, older generations, instant gratification, that is something that they experience on a daily basis without even questioning. Patience is affected. You know, they don't have patience for things, because I don't want to blame technology, you know, but it plays a significant role in how young people deal with everything that is coming their way. And yes, many experience anxiety, especially when they come into the world and they see that things are a little bit different, and they need to wait for some things. They need to work hard to obtain some things. Happiness is something that they can hardly imagine that they can reach, and some of them probably they do not have a clear concept of what happiness is. So yeah, there are many things happening in that time of life, in the in these times that we are living in. And I look at youth with compassion, because you know, looking back at the times when we were, for example, I don't know, writing a letter, posting it, waiting for an answer for 2 weeks, maybe, you know, looking forward to see the postman. Oh, there are so many examples, so many things were different than the way they are done now, you know, with instant messaging and just kind of having these great qualities that prepare us for life, collapsing under all this speed, you know, that is happening in our lives. I mean, I feel privileged that I had to experience, I got to experience life at a slower speed. I valued time differently, and perhaps for me and for all the generations, the perception of time is different than it is for the younger generation. And you have asked me what they can anchor it in. Yeah, and I had an image of a tree with the roots deep in the soil. And this is not necessarily from a textbook, and I do not want to bring any kind of pathology in the discussion related to anxiety. These are just simple mindsets that we can have in life, and one of them that is anchoring us on the spot is our values. And but regardless of where the people find themselves, whether is they are at home, in a workspace, they are young or they are old, I think our values is our compass, is what is guiding us through life. And I can explain to you in more detail what that would mean and or what that means and how is that reflected, for example, in the work space, working space.
And I was thinking that in addition to values, which are core and they are part of linked to your identity, and they are the things that hold people together when the chips are down. But there is a big resource that we have, and especially we're lucky in New Zealand, in Aotearoa, we can go into nature. We don't have to travel far.
True.
And we can be at one with nature, whether it's walking on a beachfront, or whether it's walking in a forest, or whether it's breathing in the moist air. At the seaside, or and the negative vibes, or whether it's breathing in the air in the forest or in the local park, we've got that opportunity.
Yes, we do, indeed. But how many people do you see doing it? And that takes me back to values, because when you get to get acquainted with valuing nature, for example, or valuing fresh air or health in general, then going for a walk, okay, wherever that is, in fresh air, that is a strategy that you choose in order to honor that value that you have. But we need to become aware of these values that we have. For example, I would like to know from you, I'll share with you what my greatest values are, that I keep them close to me as my best friends, helping me or guiding me when I have to make a choice or a decision. So what are your values? What are the values that you keep close to you, that help you, that have been with you for your entire life? Maybe the values that brought you here.
One of my values, one of my strong values, is valuing education. education for me is not necessarily academic knowledge, but mm-hmm. it is understanding where have we come from, who are we,
mm-hmm.
how do we relate to others, how could we get along better with others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's human knowledge about what brings out the best in people.
Yeah.
As much as it may be scientific knowledge or evidence. Yes, I'm evidence-based in how I develop strategies and how I look forward to changing things to improve mm-hmm. things for people. But I also value that inner knowing, that inner awareness, that connectivity with others, learning through intuition, learning through watching and mm-hmm. listening to others.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's all my yes. concept about valuing education.
Yes. This is a wonderful value to have, because if you embrace these values since you were young, then your choices were pretty much influenced by this value. It could be learning. You know, you value learning. You value knowing about things. So that would help you, I don't know, will help you with your orientation in life, learning mm. things.
I think it has, really. And mm-hmm. I remember when I was about 10, that mm-hmm. a school teacher who was an aunt of mine gave me a book, Children of Other Lands, because she recognized me mm-hmm. as a bridge builder of the future.
Yeah.
And she saw that in me, and she mm-hmm. gave me this book, which was a great treasure to me. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I went on to build many bridges, to yeah. relate to many people from different cultures, and yeah. that became a very great focus of a lot of what has happened and unfolded in my life.
This is wonderful. And here is where I am going to bring you. I wish I could draw it, you know, so people could actually see it. How, going back to that image of a tree, okay, with the roots in the soil, thinking about, let's say, this value of yours, learning, okay? Learning would stay, for example, in the crown of the tree, okay? But if we go deeper, and it could be about the example that you gave us and how this value guided you into your life, or about children or young adults who are waking up to the world that is different than the one that they experienced when the parents were still their guardians. And they might be confused, they might be uncertain. They experience all these negative emotions. Again, going back to the values and acknowledging them makes a big difference. But looking at the value that you chose, the learning, the valuing education, if you go deeper than that, there is an extraordinary quality of the mind that if I would take one quality of the mind that I would encourage every parent to teach their child, you know, and for us adults, it's never too late to embrace it. That is curiosity. Okay, it's one of the greatest, let's say, mind hacks, if we can say that in a positive way, because it's curiosity that leads us into exploring other things, into learning new ways of doing things. It's not about, we talk about anxiety, right? So that is anxiety, it became a sort of normal state of the mind, and that is just because it's trying to protect us. But if you ask the right questions, you know, anxiety comes when there is uncertainty, for example, just to give an example of the reason why anxiety is manifesting. Uncertainty. Well, if you have enough curiosity, okay, to ask the right questions, you know, why is that thing uncertain for me? What is that I don't know yet? What is that I need to know enough for me to feel comfortable enough to make the next step. So it's about asking the right questions. And they come from that extraordinary quality that we are all equipped with. It just needs to be grown, encouraged, which is curiosity. Mm-hmm. Problem solving, that comes from curiosity. You know, it's not that, I don't know what example to give. My glass is broke. And then I sit down and cry that my glass is broke. Oh, that's the right question. How can I fix them? Can I fix them? What do I need to do in order to fix them? Yeah, it's like you see problems differently, like a challenge, a provocation.
You know. Curiosity takes you outside the box.
It does.
You know, we're often looking at quick, ready solutions,
that
are box thinking. Yeah. But when we explore further, mm-hmm. and we're more open and we're more flexible, mm-hmm. then we can put ourselves in other people's shoes. And that gives
yes.
us, we start experiencing things from a different
yes.
perspective.
That is, again, curiosity that helps you to connect with other people if you ask the right question. I wonder how it is for you going through that particular experience, for example. It's this kind of comment that you could choose to make, you know, when somebody is telling you about some struggles they are going through. And if you say, I wonder how it is for you, you know, to go through this, that shows empathy and compassion. So this topic that you suggested, Anne-Marie, can go in so many different directions, you know, like fireworks. Because as a matter of fact, everything about life and about mind is fascinating. And we are very different from each other. You know, it's quite rare that you find people that think in the same way. And that is really luck when you see that they have similar patterns of thinking. So again, anxiety, it's not something to stay with. Why would you stay with? Okay, it's a very, very unpleasant experience.
Of course it's very unpleasant. It's why
yes.
people seek to escape with drugs or even take their own life because it becomes such a pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What I was thinking was that sometimes if we wind the clock back, I'm not suggesting we can wind the clock back, but if we can think in our minds, what types of things did people do 200 or 300 years ago? What sort of strategies did they use? And if we think back, we might come up with families had some family time. They had time where the whole family connected. And that was the extended family, not just the nuclear family.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was through that extension, it was unstructured time. You just hung out with the people and you look forward to it. Because you saw familiar faces, and there was laughter, and there was storytelling, and there was a richness in it. It was a great resource.
Yes,
and when I've met one or two people from my former life as growing up as a child, and I remember some of those extended family occasions. A recent meeting I'd had with my cousin, who's since passed, he spent most of that meeting talking to me about those occasions where my father told stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he was full of the joy and the enjoyment, the excitement, the pleasure of how it had been for him when he was listening and participating in those storytelling sessions that were part of the extended family meeting.
This is very beautiful, and that brings back memories of my grandparents. And I think most of us, we do have great memories of our grandparents more than our parents, those of us who have been lucky enough to be close to them, to have them around. And that's probably because our parents were busy. or busier. But what I want to say here and draw a line, you know, looking at what is the difference between the times then and the times now. And it's again, you would say it's the speed, but at the end of the day, it's the amount of information that is coming our way. And these very, very affordable ways to access that particular information. And therefore, the perception of time is different. That comes from a really, really serious problem. It's about the value that we put to time. The memories that we have from the past are still there because they were meaningful. They are meaningful to us. We spent meaningful moments with these people and they meant something for us. And if you compare that with someone scrolling Facebook, for example, where is the meaning in that? Okay. And, you know, sometimes hours are passing, days are passing, weeks, months, years, and they get to ask themselves, what have I done with my time? You know, and we only remember what brings meaning into our lives. So, because somehow I try to wrap everything in values, today I'd go back to values, thinking that this is our legacy as parents, as grandparents, helping our children to embrace certain values that would serve them in life when they make from little choices, you know, from, I don't know, what they buy, what they eat, what they do with their time, whether they're scrolling or reading a book or going in nature, to the times they would be old. And there are great values to choose from. One that I personally embraced is truth. I know that I can't make a choice or a decision, informed choice or decision, if I don't know the truth. So I'm a truth seeker. I don't imagine in a philosophical way, although sometimes I like to dive into, you know, philosophical aspects of these abstract things that we have in our lives. But truth, you know, you dig out the truth about something. Okay, that's one of the values. Another one is integrity. How do you feel about everything that you did, you know, over one day, over one week, over one visit, or over one meeting, and whatever that word has in it. It's not, integrity is made up of truth as well as respect, as care, compassion. So this, going back to values, this is something that it is nice when you bring them to light in yourself and your family, you know, and think, what is actually that is guiding me in the choices that I make?
I think that's very important if you're wanting to span generations, have intergenerational conversations, if you're a grandparent or if you're simply a family friend of a young person, you can have quite an impact. Research shows that young people really value the contact they have with their grandparents over any other people. Or there may be a significant older adult that fulfills that role.
Yeah.
And this research was done with young people who had attempted suicide. And in their recovery period, when they were part of the research, they were able to articulate very handsomely just how important and significant these relationships were.
Mm-hmm.
And just how much the genuineness, the integrity, the truth, You know, because they're not trying to sell me anything, these grandparents. They're not trying to push me into something. They don't have a life blueprint that they're wanting to impose on me, like maybe my parents are. So they're really able to be that much more open to be present, to not be locked into the past or the future, but be very present. And in that space, they're able to do quality listening. And it's that feeling that of being heard, so it's so healing for a young person. And often for them, such a rare thing, because they often don't experience that from their peers. They maybe miss that from their parents who are very busy. And it is so those unstructured periods of time that they can just sit and be, sometimes to listen to stories and sometimes to ask questions and sometimes to tell their own stories. But yeah, in that space, it can be a genuine space of healing.
Exactly. And I think this is a quality that humans have. And this is one of the differentiating factors, you know, that puts us really in a totally different space when it's about mammals, since it's about life on Earth. The fact that we humans have the ability to reflect, and reflection, it's feeding into our growth and becoming, you know, someone that we are happy with and other people are happy with. I'm not sure if I said the right thing, but that's an important thing to do.
Yes.
Reflection.
And it's this program will be going to air on the International Women's Day, and so I'm wanting to just give a heads up here that often in times of war, it's women who have done extraordinary deeds of courage, and they're not necessarily given awards or medals for that, but they do contribute hugely to outcomes. Sometimes they stop wars. So I think we owe a debt to a lot of women around the world for the work that they do in many spheres. And in New Zealand, they are pushing to try and get equal pay and to try and close the gap on pay. And I think that this is a very important year for women. So we will have more programs on this. So thank you, Camelia, for sharing today and being part of our program. And we'll look forward to exploring more on these topics in the future.
Yeah, I like to hear that. Thank you as well.
Thanks to our audience, and we look forward to having you with us next week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.